This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The U.S. war with Iran is extending beyond the battlefield. It's hitting Americans in their pocketbooks and on their kitchen tables. We're living with the skyrocketing cost of gas, and this could just be the beginning. There are rising prices for everyday goods and groceries, and this is going to rock the job market as well. We're hearing from Michael Negron. He is the Senior Fellow of Economic Opportunity at the Center for American Progress. And Michael, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, David. Thanks for having me.
Gas prices, we were promised by Donald Trump when he was running for election the last time, saying that he would bring it down to $2 a gallon. That's not what we're seeing at the pump. We're seeing pretty high prices, and this is directly related to the war, the bombing of Iran, the Iranians closing the Strait of Hormuz. We probably could have seen this coming when we knew that they were going to attack Iran, right?
Yes, well, this is an entirely foreseeable consequence. There are reports of war games having been done on prospective invasions or attacks on Iran for years, going across administrations. And in pretty much all of the scenarios that I've read about, there is an assumption amongst the war planners that there would be a closure of the Strait of Hormuz. So this was an entirely foreseeable consequence of this decision that the president made to strike Iran. And it is evident there was not much planning done to try and mitigate it. There was no buildup in the Strategic Petroleum Reserve in advance. They seem to be surprised by various actions taken by the Iranians. And then certainly they did not prepare. They did not seem to prepare allies in the region for the strikes that Iran launched against refineries and production facilities. And so we are in a entirely foreseeable outcome of the president's decision. And it's one that is certainly ongoing now. There have been the strait was closed and opened and then closed again, according to the president. And this could go on for quite some time.
The strait was never really open. I mean, the president says things, he just makes them up. He's just really just trying to manipulate the markets by making promises that a deal is at hand. There is no deal. Iran's ready to negotiate. They're not ready to negotiate. We're blocking the strait ourselves, the United States. So it does seem like the price of gasoline, I'm surprised it's not higher.
Yes. Well, certainly it's quite high. So let's do that justice. It's up more than a dollar nationally. I think it's 402 nationally as of this morning, which is about a 35% increase. Not that long ago, it was even higher than this. I think it's likely that the 172 million barrel release of from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve has helped a little. And so probably it would be a little higher were it not for that release. But it is quite high. And, this isn't over yet. As you noted, that the strait was never really opened. The president certainly likes to introduce uncertainty, likely to play up the markets. But I was watching Meet the Press this weekend. I saw Mike Waltz on the U.N. ambassador talking about he was receiving questions, talking about, asking for what their plans were within the negotiation. And he gave the typical answer that 99% of government officials will give is that I am not negotiating in public. We need to pursue this in the ordinary course of the negotiation. But of course, there is one very significant figure who likes to negotiate in public, and that is the president, who is constantly talking about what the Iranians have agreed to or not agreed to. And then the Iranians, of course, say they agreed to nothing, but which all it seems to be doing is prolonging this conflict.
So I'm wondering how people are dealing with the high gas prices and how what they feel at the pump. And then if they can call in, we want to hear from our listeners about are you making adjustments or do you understand what's going on? We hear from the Trump administration that this is a small price to pay in order to keep Iran from having nuclear weapons. Do you feel that way? 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Are you happy to pay these higher prices, which Donald Trump says is a small price to pay in order to keep Iran from having nuclear weapons. And so the we heard from Chris Wright, who is the Secretary of Energy. He said that gas prices will not go below $3 a gallon, at least until maybe the start of next year, 2027. And then Donald Trump got mad at that, and they reversed. He says, no, they're going to go down quickly. Michael, what's your take on that?
Well, I just want to note that the president himself, about a week ago, made a statement that he then backed away from, saying that, admitting that prices may not get down to where they were pre-war by the midterms. And so he's having something of a public debate with himself. But I believe Secretary Wright here, and in fact, I think he may be underselling it a little bit, in that his own Energy Information Administration, based on a release that I saw last week, and there may be continued updates, but it projected that even with a reopening of the Strait of Hormuz by next month, it did not expect energy traffic production to return to pre-war levels until the end of this year. And it anticipated that retail gas prices would remain above pre-war levels really through the end of 2027. Now, again, there's a dynamism to those numbers, and perhaps things will change if there is an agreement reached. But I don't think the secretary was out on a limb here, noting what I think a lot of people have been commenting, a lot of experts in the field have been commenting on, and that is the fact that this is not going to reopen like reopening a water faucet. There has been damage done to dozens of refineries and storage facilities and oil and gas fields in at least 9 countries across the region. You have tankers and other forms of freight just backed up waiting to come out. You have production that just has to get restarted, insurers that need to get comfortable again, that there actually is an agreement in place and there is peace. And so there's a lot of variables here that need to line up, and that will take months, not weeks. It will take months for that to get resolved. And so we do seem in store for higher gas prices for quite some time, and perhaps we won't, perhaps even longer, just because this conflict, depending on the manner in which the conflict is resolved, this conflict has really made clear just the risk that the president and the administration's relationship with Iran poses to energy production and energy transit, has made clear to Iran its own power to exercise pressure on the global economy. So I think the market could end up pricing in just a higher level of risk going forward. And so it could be quite some time before we get back to that, I think, 297, 298 that we were at on February 27th before the president launched this war.
We asked our listeners what they think about paying higher prices at the pump at 833-877-8255. Let's go to Kenny. Kenny, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I guess my comment would be on the price. I'm a longtime NPR listener, and I'm just curious as to what was the excuse when it was this high or higher under Biden? There wasn't a war. It was really just a war on oil that drove the price up.
Well,
now,
there was
you just
a war.
Said we had two. Just one second. I don't think Ukraine caused the price to go up to $5 from $2.97.
Okay.
So, and then my next point would be, I really appreciate NPR, and I really do. I like the intelligent conversation.
Okay.
But it's almost as if the reporting is done with glee when something goes wrong for President Trump. The glee, the optimism for something going wrong. The problem is you have to be pro-American regardless who is in office. And I would just really, think that, maybe that ought to be thought about a little bit. But I do enjoy your program, and I appreciate the time, and I like the intelligent conversation. I will always listen. I might not always agree, but I will always listen.
Well, and Kenny, you're always welcome to call in. I appreciate it. And you just call us on whatever stuff you think we need to correct on. I appreciate that. All right. So, Michael, you heard Kenny there. Do you want to respond to that?
Yes, well, I would just say that it really is a consensus view that the Russian invasion of Ukraine caused a significant spike in the cost of oil, and which translated into heightened gas prices. It is what prompted the Biden administration to then make a major release from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to try to get gas prices down. And so it was, in fact, a geopolitical event that drove up gas prices in 2022 and helped keep them elevated for a bit. And so I don't think there's a real debate about that. And I think what
you can look at the charts, they show you right as the war, the invasion of Iran, of Ukraine happened, you can see the spike.
Correct. Exactly. And what's different about what we're seeing now is, of course, that the president intentionally launched this. And so that's the major difference. And of course, the Strait of Hormuz, its outright closure is just a more significant geopolitical disruption because 20% of the world's oil moves through the Strait of Hormuz. And so that's a major difference. That was done as a choice by the president. The Russian invasion of Ukraine was something, of course, carried out by Putin and his army.
And we saw in Trump's first administration the price of oil tank because of the loss of demand because of the pandemic. Let's go to a break, and you can call in. We want to hear from our listeners about how they're dealing with the higher price of gasoline, what are their concerns, how this will end up on the grocery shelf and on their tabletops at home. We want to hear from you, and what kind of adjustments are you making as well? We're hearing about the destruction of demand. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The Source continues. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about what's going on with our gas prices and what are we able to do about that? How do we process that? And what does it look like into the future? You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255. With me on the line, Michael Negron. He is the Senior Fellow of Economic Opportunity at the Center for American Progress. Let's go to Edgar on the phones. Edgar, you're on the air.
Yes. You know, in a way, you're having a kind of howdy-doody conversation. We took over Venezuela. We've got all their oil at our fingertips. Why doesn't anyone want to fire up those refineries so we can send out Venezuelan oil to make up for the so-called 20% that we are not getting from Iran?
All right, Edgar. So, Michael, do you want to take that?
Yeah, I mean, so my understanding of the Venezuelan oil is that there's still some investment needed to get things going again. The production of oil in Venezuela declined significantly due to the sanctions, and that some foreign investment is needed. That is not something that will not instantly increase production, but will take some time to get production going again. And then the fuel there, the oil there, as I understand it, is a thicker, heavier type of oil that. That also is a little bit more difficult to refine. And so it seems to me, based on just, again, I'm not a petroleum development expert, but everything I've read and understood about Venezuela, and this was pre-war as well, where there was some discussion over how quickly could things get going again, that it was something that would take months, if not years, to get going again, and that it's good to have the additional supply forthcoming on the market, but it's not something that is immediately available. We'll take some real work to do. We'll take some companies willing to go in and do that production work. And so it's just not something that's immediately available to us right now.
Deals are being made right now to try to get there. There is Venezuelan oil coming into Texas refineries. It's being blended with the Texas, sweet intermediate crude, and they're able to blend that and work with that. I spoke with the chair of the Railroad Commission and Jim Wright, and he told me that he thinks this is a way that will definitely boost output for oil in our domestic market. Let's go to Randall, and Randall, you're on the air.
First of all, I, in response to Kenny, I don't have to be gleeful when there's a wind-up tin-toy dictator running America into the ground. I don't. I'm sorry. one of the hidden gems in the TPR program schedule is BBC Radio, coming up on around 10 o'clock most nights. I really enjoy some of the things I hear. My sleep schedule is wacky. But just here in the past couple of days, they released a report. The insider trading suspicions looming over Trump's presidency is the title. And the first thing there is the first paragraph. Throughout U.S. President Donald Trump's second term in office, traders have been betting millions of dollars just before he makes major announcements. And this has been happening on both the traditional stock markets that we all grew up with, as well as these new shady prediction markets, as they're called, like Kelsey and these apps that you can get on and make wild speculative bets on just about anything. And it's a wild speculative bet when you are in the dark. But if you're getting insider information, like the top 2% of the wealthiest Americans are, maybe that are in the MAGA circle, that's right. A different thing.
And well, what about gas prices at the pump? Not everybody is, betting on the futures market.
No, not everybody. We aren't. But we're the working class and the middle class and even in some cases the veterans who are trying to make ends meet, who are losing their homes and fighting with grocery prices and Medicare and Medicaid and the Veterans Administration. All these things are going up at the expense of fattening the wallets of the top 2% of the wealthiest Americans, I think.
All right.
And I'm interested in your guests.
All right. We'll see what.
Thank you.
All right, Randall, thank you for that. So Michael Negron, we're seeing some. Well, today is a really weird day for the oil markets. Today's rollover day for the future markets. And you have to decide if you're going to roll over your future bet or you're going to have to take delivery. So the markets are a little wacky today, but oil prices are like $90 a barrel right now for West Texas Intermediate crude, about $105 a barrel for Brent. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah, well, I think the caller raises a good point because we've been seeing this play out, particularly in the prediction markets, where we will see bets placed hours before a decision that was not otherwise widely expected was made. I think we saw evidence of this prior to the administration's surprise action to remove Maduro from Venezuela. I think that was when we really saw it come out in stark relief, but we've seen it in Iran as well. And these prediction markets, they have this, they accept crypto. They seem to protect anonymity of folks who are making these bets. And so it is a real risk. It is something that the Trump SEC has been in particularly uninterested.
Well, I wonder about it as a national security risk. If you have people in the government placing these sudden bets on military action hours before something is done, like the attack on Venezuela, we saw that. If you're able to somehow gain access to what's going on in these Kelsey or these markets, then you're able to get valuable intelligence that puts our military at risk.
Well, sure, it is that, but I think it is also a major, it seems like it could be a major driver of some decision making. You were just noting at the top of this, top of our interview, the fact that the president seems to come on and make statements that are unborne out by reality to try to drive markets in another direction. Now, the primary reason for that may just be he's trying to will the economy into a better place. But every time he does that, there are opportunities for people who know the timing of such statements to benefit. And so I think it does feed into this sense that everyone in government is on the take. And yes, sure, it's a national security issue, but it's also just about good government and people having faith in government. And there have been members of Congress who have proposed some bills that would prohibit that type of insider knowledge activity on the prediction markets. We'll see what kind of traction
they get.
It's
going to take a big lift to do that because we know that the Trump administration is closely tied to those markets. Let's go to Tony on the phone. And Tony, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. When hasn't America been at war with somebody is really the question. Ultimately, the prices of crude go up and down. all right, regardless of the president. And this is just a fact of life. You can and of course, you know, war creates demand for energy, right? And so there's higher demand, so the prices go up. And in summer, when people drive, you know, for summer, the prices go up. And in Christmas, people, same thing, right? So that's been at play, right? So ultimately, you know, I don't know if it's so much the president. The war plays a role. You know, it's just one of the many things that America has, you know, in mm-hmm. play at the moment. And I think the rich and powerful are the ones who benefit the most. I think we need to move away from fossil fuels. And we're not going to do that if we're obsessed with fossil fuels and thinking about it every day.
All right, Tony, I agree with you on that. Thank you so much. So, Michael, gas prices go up, they go down. You know, what's the big deal? You know, this is just the way of the market.
Well, that is not what's happening here. What the caller mentioned was that, you know, we're seeing demand go up because of war. That is absolutely not what's happening here. We've seen supply go down significantly. I don't know that we've seen demand go up, but what we've seen is the supply go down.
We're seeing demand go down. There's people talking about a destruction of demand. People, especially in states where gas prices are a lot higher, people are making carpooling or making fewer trips, things like that.
But it's not going down sufficiently to make up for the increase in price driven by the decrease in demand. And the reason that the supply has gone down is for a very specific operation launched by this president in a part of the world where we were reliant upon that part of the world for a significant share, 1/5 of oil in transit, a significant share of nitrogen-based fertilizers. There are other materials like aluminum that move through the Persian Gulf and through the Strait of Hormuz. So this is not a typical up and down of the market. This is a president who launched a major action that had a very foreseeable effect of cutting down a supply of this incredibly important commodity. That's what's happening here. Now, you know, people can debate whether it was the right decision or not. I'm happy to talk about that. But like, this is not the normal up and down of the market. And we saw in the first month of this conflict, the fastest rate of increase in the price of gas since Hurricane Katrina in the United States. It was the fastest rate of increase over the 4 weeks, opening 4 weeks of the war since 2005. And so this is a major event of historical importance. It is not just the ups and downs of the gas market. This is something that is being driven by presidential action.
Diesel also being impacted by this. Diesel prices are sky high. Everything that you get at the grocery market is put there on diesel. Farmers are being impacted by the lack of fertilizer, also the lack of their agricultural labor, and then what mm-hmm. they have to pay. The prices, it's going to continue. This is inflationary, and I think I'm taking no glee in saying this is going to be a problem for quite a while, and people need to figure out how they're going to deal with that. So definitely Michael Negron, thank you so much. Senior Fellow of Economic Opportunity at the Center for American Progress. Thank you so much.
Thanks, David.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.